David McCumber, thanks so much for joining us on Montana Public Radio today.
Oh, Nora, thanks again for having me, as always.
The Montana Standard dropped a two-part special investigative report last week about a very long-running conflict between small meat processors in Montana and the federal agency that inspects them. Can you briefly tell us what was the meat of the story, what the heart was?
The meat, yes. Well, the story is basically that under the urging of a frontline supervisor for the Food Safety and Inspection Service, that's the federal service that does inspect meat plants, inspectors were giving meat plant operators citations for not complying with regulations. But the kicker was that the regulations weren't real. They were something that the frontline supervisor had said needed to be done, but what he said didn't match the federal regulations. In particular, I focused on a wholesale and retail meat operation in Butte. Bart Riley owns Riley's Meats, and he has been feuding with the FSIS, this federal agency, which, by the way, is part of the Department of Agriculture, for 12 years since this frontline supervisor first came into his shop. Bart is extremely proud of his plant, which is immaculate and has always been found to be so by federal, state, and local inspectors of various kinds. And so it was a real shock to him when this person came in and told him he had to make many changes, and many of the changes were quite expensive. So he pushed back on this, and he began doing research, and he discovered that everything he had been told to do was not in the regulations.
He started to find some inconsistencies and no basis for some of these changes he was being required to make. What happened then?
Then some other plants in the state also started complaining about similar issues. The service brought out a team of executives from Washington for listening sessions around the state. At those sessions, they assured small plant owners like Bart Riley that, no, you don't have to replace your wooden pallets, and no, these regulations aren't really regulations, and so you don't have to follow them. So despite that, Bart started getting citations for some of the very things that the brass from Washington had said weren't really regulations. He ultimately protested because pretty soon he got just a blizzard of these citations, which would force him to take time to respond to, and he filed an official protest. The fact is that the agency told Bart that, yes, we think that you've been willfully harassed, but we're not going to do anything about it, that no further action was deemed necessary. And indeed, 12 years later, the person about whom Bart complained, frontline supervisor Jeffrey Legg, is still in the same position.
And what struck me was that while the story of Riley Meats in Butte is fascinating, it's not just that business. This is across the board with other small meat plants in Montana. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the bigger patterns that you observed?
I did see several instances of exactly the same behavior, and interestingly, several of them involved businesses that were trying to expand and become federally inspected. I mean, meat plants don't have to be federally inspected. If they're only doing work within the state, they can be just inspected by the state. But if a plant wants to sell product outside the state, as Bart does, you have to be federally inspected. In any event, it just seemed like the same pattern occurred. And in all three of these other cases, what happened was the laundry list of regulations or of requirements was so long and so onerous that all three of them decided to modify their business plan and not seek federal inspection. And two of those operations are now defunct and no longer employing anybody or doing any work.
Yeah, this behavior seems to have had a chilling effect on the growth of small meat processors in the area.
I think that's really true. And, you know, I think it seems as though the federal government is just not interested in more small plants. I don't know what the motivation behind this is, but I do know that it's happened and it's happened consistently.
I want to know more about how the Montana Standard and you as the editor got wind of this and decided to take this on as an issue.
Well, I wrote it myself. I heard about this from a mutual friend. I didn't know Bart Riley. I'd never met him. But I heard about this from somebody who is a friend of his and a friend of mine. And I thought, boy, that just doesn't sound right, but it sounds interesting if it's happening. So I went to visit Bart, and I found out that all this had transpired. So I began, you know, doing my homework, trying to verify what happened, and I ended up talking to several inspectors who worked for FSIS in the state, including some who are now retired and who were able to speak a little bit more freely. And I also filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the federal government, looking for a great deal of information about FSIS and its relationship with Riley Meats. I've got a full-time job as editor of the paper, so I did this sort of on the side when I could. And I had to, of course, wait for the return on the document request. So in the meantime, I did a lot of other interviews and so forth, and finally was able to put the story together and get it in the paper last week. To me, the saddest thing about the story is that Bart had always hoped and planned on turning his business over to his children, who would be the fourth generation of Riley's to run Riley Meats. His grandfather started the business in Butte in 1948. But now, after they've seen what he's been through over the past decade plus, they want nothing to do with it. And that's unfortunate.
Since this story dropped last week, has it had any impact on decision makers, on lawmakers, on those in the agency? Have you seen any ripple effects yet?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things I've seen is, first of all, it's been read across the country. Suddenly, you know, I'm sort of a clearinghouse for calls from meat plants and producers who have called me from Tennessee, from Massachusetts, from from Colorado, kind of all over, basically saying, this has happened here. Inspectors have held us to regulations that we've later found out didn't exist. I mean, to me, that puts a whole other, you know, light on the story, that indeed hearing that it's happening elsewhere in the country makes it seem like maybe it's more policy than it is an anomaly. And I find that, I find that surprising, actually.
Definitely, because in this story, it really did seem like it was falling a lot in the lap of this one inspector. After putting in so many hours to bring this story to surface, are there any other takeaways you'd like to share with us?
I mean, this is a story that you don't think can possibly be true when you first hear about it. And I've had a few of those in my career, and those are always the best stories. If they actually turn out to be true, as this one did, those are always the best stories, because that just there's that wow factor. And I think there is a lot of frustration with the federal government. Some of it I think is justified. Some of it I'm not sure about. But in this case, when it gets down to the retail level, it gets down to one bureaucrat affecting the life and livelihood of one small businessman. I mean, then I think that it's a classic case of government overreach. And therefore, interesting to a lot of people, and it sure was interesting to me.
David McCumber, thanks so much for sharing your reporting experience and that story here with us today.
Oh, thanks, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks, Nora.
I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.